GNC 492. It's Friday, July 10th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Everyone, I got a great show lined up for you, and boy, I tell you, I got a just absolutely action-packed show tonight because lots of content, just like last show. So strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content over there. The bloggers that are doing the majority of the writing over there are doing a fabulous job. You guys got to go over and check out the daily content that's on the blog at Geek News Central. And of course, when you're over there, you're going to want to subscribe to the podcast, available via the podcast link on the website. There's iTunes there. There's Zune Marketplace. There's an RSS feed. Whatever it takes, get subscribed today. Get it so that we're downloading the show every single episode so that you don't miss any of the action-packed shows that we have with lots of cool. You know, how do you get action-packed with tech? But you do. This is a fun show to hang out and learn a lot of cool stuff, what's going on in the world of technology. But while you're there, make sure you sign up for our newsletter so that you get the newsletter delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about tonight, including everything that our contributors, all of our listening audience, sends in, all part of the Ohana. If you're part of the Ohana, you can always contact me at geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. And really, when I say the Ohana, everyone that listens to this show is part of the Ohana, and I want to encourage you, of course, to always file your comments or send your voicemails in, and, you know, basically let us know what you think about the show or comment on any of the content that I have in the podcast tonight. Of course, we're live streaming as well on Ustream right now, and I want to welcome those of you that are on Ustream. Got a few people that have bounced in. It's pretty late on the East Coast. We're getting started here this evening, of course, 8 o'clock in the evening in Honolulu. But no matter what time you listen to the show, many of you listen to this while you're going to work tomorrow or wherever it may be. Of course, thanks for staying subscribed and being part of the family here. Okay, what have I got for you? Boy, I tell you, I've got just a huge list of stuff to talk about, but I got to get through it real quick because I got a lot of content tonight, and the first thing I want to make an announcement on, though, is a job, basically a job. We've got, we're moving into, well, we're projecting to move into a new phase at Raw Voice, and we're looking for someone specifically that has experience in mobile media apps. And meaning iPhone apps, pre-G1, whatever it may be, if you have experience in this background, and this doesn't require a full-time commitment, but it does require a very heavy investment of time, definitely you're going to want to think about this before applying. But what we're looking for is really kind of a program manager, someone that knows how to code, someone that has experience in media applications, someone that can be a self-starter, someone I don't have to tell essentially what to do, someone that can run on their own, giving a list of tasks and don't have to be followed up upon. This is a very, very important aspect of this particular position because we don't have time to babysit anybody. And the economy, the way it is, we're continuing to move as fast as we can in all of our product development. And we need someone that is capable of moving fast, making decisions on their own and so forth, but has experience in the mobile media app space. So if you are that individual, you'll definitely want to send me your resume, whether it be via new media, via audio podcasts, via standard method, whatever it does, get creative. show me links to any work that you may have done or managed. You can send that over to, and this is a different address, CEO@rawvoice.com. And only serious inquiries, please. And you have to be able to match those criteria. Or really, I don't think we'll even consider you. But you would, if you think you've got a good case, then do it. But you have to be able to program. That's the key. And know how the how integration goes with mobile media apps. Now, speaking of which, mobile media, all of you hold on to your hats because you kind of knew this was coming. And I'll start this off by saying last night I took my Gen 1 iPhone, I rehacked it, uploaded version 3.0 on it, pulled my SIM out of it, stuck my wife's SIM in, and she has my Gen 1 iPhone because guess what I have? Yes, indeed, have made the plunge, and oh boy, this pains me to say this, and I'm sure I'm gonna get email from all over the place saying you sold out, Todd. But really, in the phase that we're going, and a lot of the stuff we're doing in business, just had to have an iPhone that we could have access to the App Store, get all the different apps. So yes, indeed. Cringing an AT&T iPhone, not a T-Mobile one. And it really, I was telling the guy at the Apple store, I said, you're not going to believe the flack I'm going to get back for announcing this, because people are going to be like, no. But really, at this point in the game, mobile is continuing to move forward. I think we all can agree with that. No matter what phone you have, you know that our lives are becoming more mobile, and the capabilities to do stuff on mobile is important. So I just want you guys to kind of know that it's not just a personal decision, but it's also a business decision as well. My wife so far is lukewarm with her new device. I put Edge on it, so she's got full capability to use it. And she's so far, we'll see how it goes over the next couple of weeks. I'll keep you informed on that. So we're not going to sell the Gen 1. She's going to use it. And but it was kind of cool. I will say that the jailbreaking procedures, wow, have gotten amazingly easy. It took me a total of maybe 15 minutes maybe to upgrade it to 3.0. I was reading instructions real close, following along, but maybe 15, maybe 20 minutes. The hardest thing I had finding was trying to figure out how to get all of our contacts out of the SIM. Now, the challenge I had was I had to retype all of my 194 contacts by hand because for some reason I couldn't get the phone to sync and download the contacts and stuff. So that was a major problem. But anyway, that's kind of how that went. But regardless, we're up and running, and I've become an App Store junkie, absolutely. And it was so far, I have to say, I'm pretty impressed with the 3.0. Minus, it is just an absolute power pig. I mean, it sucks the battery down like it's nobody's business. It's amazing how fast the bar goes down. And I bought the guy told me, he right in the story, says, you got to have one of these. It's called a Mophie protective case, and it's actually got a battery in it. And this thing's pretty amazing. Gives you double the life. But I about killed the original battery within about, in the iPhone, in about 6 hours. Just doing, playing with apps. And I was using it a lot, obviously. But plugged the Mophie in, actually had the Mophie charged up, turned it on, and it carried me through the rest of the day. And then, of course, a regular standard charge in the evening. But it is an absolute battery or power hog. It just sucks the juice down in a hurry. Okay, the Podcast Madness thing is going on. If you want to win, you need to listen now, because Jeffrey's going to explain how you can get your name. This is the last time, folks. If you're not listening, if they are not here, they're not here. If you're here, you're here. So listen to what Jeffrey has to say. This is how you can win some cool prizes at the end of the month through our Podcast Madness month. So go ahead and listen up.
Hey, everybody, this is Jeffrey Powers, and you are listening to Geek News Central, and now it is time to give you your code for the Podcast Madness Summer of Podcast Contest, found at www.podcastmadness.com. Your code word for Geek News Central is audience. AUDIENCE. Go to podcastmadness.com and enter in that code and win some great prizes. Thanks a lot to Geek News Central for being a participant, and good luck to everybody in the Summer of Podcasts contest.
All right, folks, next Tuesday, I'm going to give away a prize. Jeffrey's going to pull the database information for me, and I'm going to give away a cool prize to a listener of the show. This will be a hardware device, and we're going to have a nice prize for one winner, or one person that has submitted an entry. But for all of you, and then you get a second chance to win here at the end of the month when we have our live prize event. Okay, let's talk about show 500. We are on 492. We are 1 month away from hitting show 500. And I said I want to do something special with show 500, and a conversation I had with an audience member kind of solidified what I want to do. We're in very tough economic times right now, okay? So there are Ohana out there that are right now without a job. There are Ohana out there that are having challenges with, making ends meet. So what we're going to do is we're going to have, in the next show, I'm going to announce how you can essentially be a part of the show 500 proceedings. I'm going to put X number of dollars. Oh, there goes my telephone. My son has been getting calls all night tonight. And I told him, keep the phone next to you. We'll see how many times it rings. He did pretty good, twice. So what we're going to do is some of you are doing better than others. And I'm going to lay X number of dollars on the table. And then I would like to have audience members, if they feel they would like to, contribute as well towards the fund that we will grow to as much money as we can raise in the month before the show 500. And then Ohana, people that have been listening to the show, and you're going to have to kind of prove that you've been listening to the show, need to submit saying, hey, Todd, this is my family situation. I'm without a job, blah, blah, blah. We're going to take those entries, and then we're going to figure out who we're going to essentially kind of give a honorarium to as a way to help one of the Ohana members out in the family to, basically help them along a little bit in these tough economic times. So I thought that would be a nice way to do show 500. I thought I could have this extravaganza, we're probably going to give a bunch of prizes away anyway because I've been saving a bunch of stuff. But at the same point, I definitely want to, reach out and help at least one family in the best way that I can. And so that's what we're going to do for show 500. Hey, I do want to mention our newsletter winner did claim his prize. He had basically sent me a couple of emails that either got hung up in spam or something. But finally, yesterday, I got his email. Bam, I PayPal'd him out as $250, and he's all set. I've got a bunch of voicemails tonight, so we'll see if he had actually called in and mentioned it or not. I don't know. We'll see. July was supposed to be the month that things were supposed to slow down for me, but it's been crazy, crazy, crazy busy here, and it's been a good kind of crazy, and I guess that's good, and to stay busy. Business is good. Consulting is going good. Everything, I can't complain. So we're going to knock on wood here a little bit. I guess, and I don't even know if this is real wood or not on this table that I'm sitting at, but I guess it's good to be appreciative of good times when they are actually happening, especially in the climate that we're in today. But those, that part of that would not be possible without our sponsors. And really, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be actually finally, Sam from Albuquerque, one of the longtime listeners of the show, I'm going to take your advice, my friend. We're going to put up a page that's going to explain all the GoDaddy codes, how the discounts work, and all the variety of codes that I have. Now, I'm going to try to get that up here in the next week. I'm going to make it very, because basically some people said, hey, Todd, I tried to use your code and it didn't work, but I want everyone to have an idea when they go to GoDaddy to pick up their great products, which codes to use to save the biggest money. I was talking with my good friends at GoDaddy, matter of fact, 2 days ago, talking about some new promotions that we're going to be putting together. So I'm excited about some things we're going to be announcing with GoDaddy here in the coming days. But they are definitely one of the premier sponsor here at Geek News Central. I want you guys, if you're looking for a domain product, virtual dedicated server, a hosting account, whatever it may be, get over to GoDaddy.com And when you get to that checkout counter, don't forget your good friend here at Geek News Central, because that promo code Todd will save you 10% off some orders. Geek 5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. The Todd 20 code will save you 20% on 1 year shared hosting accounts. ComSale, if you're registering a .com name, ComSale is the place to use that code. It'll get your domain down to $749. That's about the cheapest you're going to get it anywhere unless they've got another special going on. We've got a variety of other codes. Those will be up on a page that I put a specific landing page for here in the next week or so, so that you guys can know how to use those. But thanks for GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central. Of course, GoToMeeting, really behind the eight ball on our upcoming roundtable on Saturday. I'm hoping that we're going to be able to pull it together and have one. If we do, the announcement will go out via the normal mailing list that we have for that. And but Saturday, kind of put that in your tentatively in your schedule, 1 Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, we'll be having our monthly annual roundtable, lots of cool tech topics. Matter of fact, we do have a couple of topics lined up that are going to be real good for you to come out and check out. That's going to be happening at techpodcast.com. Of course, GoToMeeting is the best way to have an online meeting. It's what I use on a daily basis. Six times I used the application today. Six. And that was just, you know, phone ring, guys get on the phone, talking about different things. Okay, let's get in a session, load the session up, walk through stuff, boom, I'm off the phone. It just makes things go much, much faster. It is really the best online conferencing, online meeting system in existence. It simply works. GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast for your 30-day trial. Okay, let me look at the time. I didn't do much better on speeding things up tonight, did I? So let me go ahead and get into the content, because I just absolutely got a stack. And last show was long, wasn't it? It was too long. And you know what I found? You know the show that I missed a couple of weeks ago? The audience numbers on this show hover about 135,000 is what the show numbers hover, show to show. And when I didn't do a show for a week, the numbers skyrocketed. I don't know what it was. It was a longer period. And I was really puzzled on why the numbers had went up so much. I mean, dramatically up. Probably 50% more people listened to that show when there was a week time span. And I thought it goes against everything that I've ever said. And basically having this show, boom, twice a week, like on a regular basis. Now, I'm not going to change anything, but how many of you, did any of you download that show? You know, we've got it set up so that really the dual IP stuff can't be, we'll filter all that out. Did some of you download it from work and have it at home? I'm just trying to figure out where the big numbers came from. Because it just didn't make any sense to me and why that was such a big show as compared to the other ones. The only thing it was is there was a week in between. So make sure you're setting iTunes up to download everything, okay? If you don't download a few shows, iTunes stops downloading it. You definitely want to make sure iTunes is set to download everything. Do that, because I have a feeling some people are missing some shows. And I notice that sometimes comments come in one show behind. It's like there's people consistently one show behind on comments, and I don't know if it's because they're getting the show like one show behind. I don't know, but pay attention to the publishing schedule. And of course, every Tuesday and Friday morning, the show comes out and is available for download. Okay, let's talk a little regular tech here. Apple is proposing an HTTP streaming feature as a protocol standard. Now, there have been some rumblings about this already. But as you know, you can't use Flash on the iPhone, and really videos are largely downloaded, then played. And I've been playing around with the video and audio stuff a lot here in the last couple of days to kind of see how they're doing that mechanism. I'm actually going back and look at log files, the stuff I control, to see how that data is being pulled. And it's pretty interesting how they do things. So, you know, they're talking about, of course, QuickTime has essentially a protocol where you can start downloading. Once you start to get on a page and you start downloading a QuickTime video, it downs like maybe 10%, and then the video starts. It's kind of like Flash almost, and that's a QuickTime format that does that. But they're talking about doing a real-time streaming protocol which was originally, they identified several issues of the original developed Netscape in real time streaming protocol that was back essentially developed in the 90s. And they want to make some tweaks to that and make it a standard for the web. You know, they're flexing their arms here. And they obviously can do that now in the position that they're in with the mobile market. Obviously, the folks at Adobe and folks at Microsoft are not going to sit by, you know, quietly on this. We'll see what happens. But, you know, essentially, it's a lot of processor power to render video and so forth and different types of codecs. And that's probably a large reason why the iPhone probably doesn't have flash-based capability yet. And also, it's a little thing on Apple's part, probably, you know, giving the hand to Adobe. So we'll see what happens with this because they've definitely asked for this to become a standard, and they're going to be pushing hard on this. We'll see what happens with this. It's a new streaming feature, and they definitely are trying to bring that to the iPhone, and it's going to be some features are going to be available through the Snow Leopard version of Mac OS X. And of course, this is actually coming, and the spec has been submitted to the IETF. So we'll see what happens with this. Maybe the video experience is going to get better. It doesn't help those of you that have different types of mobile devices. It really doesn't, but it definitely could be a win-win for Apple in that regards. Or let's talk about Google's big announcement about coming out with an operating system of their own. I've gotten some feedback from you guys on my netbook comments. And, of course, like the next day, I'm like reading in the big story online, Google announces its own operating system to run on netbooks. And, I hear I was dogging netbooks the day before. And we'll have some emails at the end of the show about netbooks from some of you that have written in and talked to me about my comments about that. So I may end up eating a lot of crow here because Google says next year they're going to release an OS that's really wrapped around their browser. And, this is a big initiative with them. They've got a lot of stuff online already. So it makes a lot of sense that they've done this. I guess that the CEO of Google, Eric Schmidt, had to be talked into doing this. He had resisted for a long time, but they are committed at this point. And this is a major shot across Microsoft bow. So we'll see what happens. What do you think? Do you think this is going to be a game changer? Do you think there'll be slow adoption? They've already announced partners. I think who was the Acer, HP, who else? Let me read down through here. Who else has got them? They've announced partnerships already. Lenovo, Qualcomm, Texas Instrument, Toshiba, Adobe, Freescale, HP. I think I already said them. That they're going to support the Google Chrome OS. So this should be, will you guys upgrade your netbooks to this? Or will you stay on Windows XP as most of you already are? Over on Ars Technica, they're talking about who dishes out those broadband stimulus grants. Remember we talked a little bit about the give you guys on Ustream a little different view. Remember we talked a little bit on the last show about the $7.2 billion in stimulus money that was going to become available for essentially rural broadband rollout? Well, there's been a lot of questions on how that is going to be decided and how that money is going to be distributed. And it looks like the National Telecommunications and Information Administration, I didn't even know there was such an organization, the NTIA, along with the Department of Agriculture and Rural Utility Services, the RUS, we're learning some new acronyms tonight, have an application process in which is pretty complicated. But the NTIA has released a document where it's asking for volunteers to help its program select the wheat from the chaff. In other words, you're going to be able to read through these proposals and comment on them. The volunteers are going to serve, check this out, as panelists in selecting grant proposals. And I'm going to read right here from the quote from the NTI release. It says, as a reviewer, your evaluation will be an important factor considered by NTIA in determining whether to award grant funding. Although there will be no direct reimbursement for your time and expertise, you may be assured you'll be making a significant contribution to enhancing broadband services through the United States. Can you believe this? This is like, wow! It could be good or it could be bad, because you could end up with some knuckleheads on the panels, or you could have this thing front-loaded with people that are being secretly paid by, of course, no one's getting paid, right? So you're going to volunteer your time to do this review? Okay, if I'm AT&T, I'm be like, okay, break out the checkbook. We're going to hire 100 people to volunteer to do this and act as a panelist. Very interesting here. Now, we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. This could be good. It says that applicants must have significant expertise and experience in one or of three areas: building or designing public computer centers, training or educating people about broadband, or innovative programs to increase demand for broadband services. So I guess I would qualify for the training or education of people about broadband, right? Oh, man. This is just laden with abuse. We'll see what happens with this. But it'll be definitely interesting to see how this plays out in the end. But have the link up here in the show notes. You guys can check it out. This is very, very surprising. All right. We've heard about space-based solar power for a long time. And really, is it feasible? What's it cost? It costs like, here, I've got a glass of water, you know, and, you know, it's you know, I don't know, 16 ounces or whatever it is. It's what, like 10 grand to put that into space? Now, you think about the International Space Station, pretty big. We've spent billions of dollars getting the International Space Station up there. But is it really realistic that we're going to be able to put solar panels or solar power into space and the microwave systems and transmitting systems and everything that's needed to make this happen? Well, some companies are seeming to think that with some new technology that we're not too far off from being able to make it happen at an affordable rate. And you know, as a guy that's dealt with a lot of RF over the years, worked with radar systems, knows electronics fairly well, it really blows my mind to think that they would have a solar panels in space that would be taking the power and then radiated down via microwave and, you know, essentially transferring the power via that microwave signal. And first of all, the receiver system you would need to have would have to be very broad and big. But I just think this is like Buck Rogers stuff. And those of you that don't know what Buck Rogers is, well, I'm sorry. I guess I don't really either. This is before my time. But that's way, way out there. You know, wouldn't it be cheaper? Let's be honest. Wouldn't it be cheaper just to build like 10 nuclear power plants or 20? You know, wouldn't it be cheaper? You would think so, right? But everyone is so negative about nuclear. They're so scared of it. I just, you know, it just seems like it's such a simple solution. It really does. All right, let's talk a little bit about Pandora. You know, for a while now, online audio streaming services have been under the gun. We've talked about this many, many times on the show in the past, but it appears that Pandora has made a deal with the devil, the folks over at Sound Exchange. And these are the ones that are essentially collecting this bounty on every time someone plays a RIAA, ASCAP, or BMI-controlled song. And they have agreed. Now, if you business people out there, you need to think about this for a second. What's your margins when you're in business? Your margins are maybe 10%, 15%. If you're lucky, 20%. But can you imagine doing a deal with this company where you are required at a minimum to give them 25% of your profits? Is that just like holy mackerel or what? Now, this is going to even get even more hokey. Now, people basically have they use Pandora services to set up their own webcasting services. And the terms of this deal divide webcasters into three segments: subscription-based, large and small free services, with small being defined as less than $1.25 million in revenue. Goes on to say all webcasters would pay a minimum fee of $25,000 for legal access to the music they stream, but that money could be applied to what they owe in royalties, making it more of a down payment. Those providing subscription or syndicated service will pay the same rate as SoundExchange charges traditional broadcasters. Holy cow! This is mind-boggling. It really, really is. And Pandora's going to live. But boy, they had to sell their soul and their checkbook to the folks at SoundExchange to make this happen. Is this fair? Do you think this is fair? 25 grand for a small webcaster? That means anybody. You stream a copyrighted song, get your checkbook out. Write 25K to the SoundExchange. I don't know if this is for a year or what, but that's what it's going to cost you. Can these folks make any money? How many people are going to drop by the wayside? It's a good question. These prices are going to stay in effect until 2014. So, you know, they get, what, 5 years? 5 years to, you know, see if it's going to work or not. I had to take a shot of water here. Over the week, last week, we've seen some denial of service attacks hit U.S. government agencies, Pentagon. I think the White House got targeted. Now South Korea is experiencing a third wave of suspected cyber attacks. They're suspecting, quote unquote, that it's coming from North Korea. But isn't a country that is like has no, like very little connectivity and shut off from the outside world, do you think this is really coming from them? I don't understand why they can't just say, here's who it's coming from. They should be able to figure this out, you know. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. But the subtitle in this BBC report says, some reports suggest it's a long-established military unit employing up to 1,000 skilled computer hackers. Interesting. So in regards to that, the South Korea has announced it will speed plans for a cyber warfare unit. That's where the battlefield is going to be at, folks, our infrastructure like this. A lot of criticism of NASA recently, and the National Academy of Scientists have called for the creation of an independent organization within NASA to develop cutting technologies. They feel that NASA is not getting as much bang for the buck as they should be, and that they need to really get back to looking at priorities that, you know, make, you know, return good investments back to, you know, the taxpayers. And if you think about it, our missions to the moon, you know, really what did they do? It drove technology. It fostered a whole new industry. And it's probably one of the reasons why, you know, we fast-tracked on computer development and everything else. You know, organizations like DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, does really this for the Department of Defense. So they're saying that NASA needs its own kind of DARPA. And so we'll see what happens here. But a lot of people are saying that they don't think NASA is really reaching out and really striving for bigger things. And I think they've been so focused on building the International Space Station and making that mission happen. You know, you look at many of the projects for that. They've been on the drawing boards for years. And you think about technology that's going into space, you know, the idea was probably originated 20 years ago, started to be built 15, maybe finished 5 years ago. So you're dealing with stuff that's old already. There's just no way to keep that modern timeline in there. So I think it's a good idea. You know, got to have something a little more fast-tracked here. All right, how many of you use the Computer Associates antivirus application? How many of you, if you're probably not listening if you deleted one of the viruses it expected. It deleted one of the files it said was a virus because it was a critical Windows file. I guess users are complaining, obviously, if their computers don't run anymore after the antivirus program flagged a Windows critical file. And so, you know, it basically was removing this file, and people aren't very happy about it. So how many of you run into some computer issues recently because of computer associates? This next article is just completely blows me away. Microsoft has admitted that it knew of the critical Internet Explorer bug, the ActiveX bug that we talked about on the last show, in early 2008. 2008? It's July 2009. Why in the world does it take like 18 months for Microsoft to fix what they knew was a very, very critical bug? This is way, way too long and absolutely unacceptable in anyone's standards. Microsoft says that it was a very unique bug and it took a lot of time to figure out and work around. And they're a big company. Don't they have like billions of dollars? Can you imagine working 18 months just to fix this one thing? Imagine the guy being stuck doing that. Wouldn't you want to quit? 18 months on any single project? That's just too long. And I can't imagine that it actually took them 18 months. I think they just dragged their feet. And then when it was out in the wild, we better hurry up and fix it. Instead of being proactive, they had to be reactive. All right, those of you that have been sitting back and waiting to buy the Kindle 2, the price has dropped from $359 to $299, savings of about $60. So if you're looking, if you've been sitting on the fence, I love my Kindle. My original Kindle, anytime I travel, it's with me. It's in my bathroom. It basically goes where I go. And if I have a few extra spare moments, I always have, half dozen books in there that are loaded. Technical stuff, you name it. I really do. I love my Kindle. So if you're looking for a discount, $359 to $299. Mac users, be aware, a new attack on the Mac OS X has been seen in the wild, and this one here is known as P-U-P-E-R, Pupper. It's a Trojan that disguises itself as a video program for the fictional Mac Cinema system on OS X. So if you're prompted, hey, here's the video of the new Mac Cinema system for OS X, don't play it. Yeah, you'll be infected with malware, okay? Nielsen is reporting that young kids get online in a hurry. I think we all know our kids are getting online pretty quickly these days. My kids, I think they were born with a computer keyboard in their laps. But they're saying a study of children aged 2 to 11 years of age comprised a whopping 9.5% of the online universe and account for nearly 16 million Internet users. And boys and girls are online in about equal numbers. Kids aged 2 to 11 also spent a lot more time online compared to numbers back in 2004. They're saying that today it's about 11 hours a month, I guess, that they're spending online. So that's quite a bit here. And, of course, boys are watching a lot of video. Let me read this again. Oh, yeah, boys spend a little more time on than girls. Boys are most likely to tap into online video, accounting for 61% of all kids' video streams and 57% of all time spent watching online video. My kids don't watch online video. They're usually on these game sites that I have all pre-approved. And, you know, my kids are getting – actually, my son is getting to that – soon to be that age. And, fellas, you know what I'm talking about? I basically have – put the fear of, I guess the fear of God into him and basically explaining, there's adult sites out there. You stay off them. Dad's pretty smart when it comes to technical stuff. Your actions are being logged. You know, don't give me a reason to have to go, you know, and put more stuff on, like keystroke, you know, modifiers and all that stuff. Don't want to do that. I said, you know, you've been forewarned. Same thing with my daughter. But we have the computer that they use is right in the kitchen. And we're there where we can basically monitor their usage. And but still, you know, kids can be home a little bit alone from time to time. And who knows what they're going to get into. But I'm watching them. And it's kind of a, you know, now that they're getting to that age, it makes me really sit back and go, boy. Because there's a lot of nasty stuff out there. There really is that I do not want them getting exposure to. At 11, no thank you. And my daughter's 13, no thank you. None of that stuff is good at that point. So, you know, they're already exposed to enough stuff on TV and everything else. But what are you guys using? And, you know, I'm going, you know, on the low end right now. And if, you know, if something happens and I need to ratchet it up, I've got the tools to do so. But, you know, there's a lot of things I basically have also told them, hey, honor system. First time I see the history erased, you know, then we're going to go into real hardcore mode. There's a lot of stuff I've told them basically they can and cannot do. And but, you know, the logging stuff is going on for sure on sites they visit. But what are you guys putting into place? All right, over on ehomeupgrade.com. Apple adds iPhone/iPod Touch finger gesture control to Apple TV. So this is kind of cool. I guess a while back, Apple released the remote app for the iPhone and iPod Touch, allowed users to wirelessly control iTunes on their Mac. I didn't know about this. I really didn't. So I'm going to be checking this out. How many of you are using this? How many of you are controlling your Apple TV with your iPod Touch or your iPhone? Why don't you just use the remote control that comes with the Apple TV? I don't get it. So I'm going to have to go through and see what this is. But there's some new features in the 2.4 update that's available. Absolutely, the remote app directional control, Flickr search, new view options where you can view movies by general, by movie, unwatched TV shows, podcast, updated transport and chapter modes. One thing I noticed about the updating to version 3 on the iPhone, going to the podcast section, how come you can't subscribe from within the phone? Can you? And I missed it? How dumb is that? I don't get it. I really don't. And I actually had a conversation with a gal the other day kind of about this. And I understand. I say, hey, we get featured on iTunes. We get a huge rush of people. But then people aren't subscribing. They don't come back. Because once we drop off the feature page, no one knows enough to subscribe. You got to tell them to subscribe. That's what I told her. So that's why I tell you guys to subscribe every show. All right, over on eWeek, Semantic finds spammers abuse faith in URL shortening services. And, you know, I had seen this a couple days ago. And I really didn't pay a lot of attention to it. But I got an email that had a link in there from a, you know, it was a regular email. And then it had a short URL from a shorty service I wasn't familiar with. And I said, nope, I'm not going to click on that one. Because I didn't really know where I was going to end up. You know, really, you could have a full URL, click on the link, and you could go to a page that redirects you to another website. You know, and that's what these short URLs do. You click on it, takes you to a website, redirects you to another one. You can do that on any web page. I can redirect any page on Geek News Central. I could make every page on the 9,000-plus articles. Once you put in the URL, you would automatically get bammed right to the front page. Real easy to do. So, really, I wasn't, from a perspective of, this could happen anytime, but the email made me real leery on pushing it. And I click on links all the time in my email. And usually what I do is I right-click them, copy the URL, then I paste the URL into the URL bar to get a better look at the, make sure that it's not sending me someplace really weird, and then load the page. And so far that's, you know, worked out pretty well. But they're saying now that that spammers are putting these links to kind of bypass the antivirus software. That's what they're using. They're using the short URL services to get you to a website you shouldn't be at. It could infect your machine, whether you're using a, you know, if you have a browser that has a vulnerability to a page that you're being sent to. Obviously, we talked already about the iPhone 3GS jailbreaking tool. What do you think? Should I want to use Quick on this. Should I jailbreak this phone? It's not jailbroke currently, but boy, yeah, I really want to do live streaming video from it. Although we found out today that the upload speed's being limited. We'll talk about that here in a second. But the jailbreak's out there, real easy to do. I may wait until Apple updates once before I jailbreak this. But how many of you that have 3GS have jailbroke your phones? Love to hear your feedback on that. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline at +1-619-342-7365. Okay, tomorrow, or Saturday, those of you, many of you are listening to the show again, of course, on Friday sometime during the day Friday, NASA has a short window on Saturday to get Space Shuttle Endeavour off the ground. The weather is not looking good. It'll be a 7:39 p.m. launch, so it's 1:39 here in Honolulu, 6 hours behind, but definitely I'm going to have the DVR scheduled to record it because I've got a birthday party to take a daughter to. And definitely going to supposed to be a launch here for Saturday. But if they don't get it off the ground on Saturday, the shuttle has to get pushed back to July 27th. So hopefully they'll get off the ground and we'll get this mission out to the International Space Station. Okay, Patch Tuesday. Going to be 6 security bulletins coming from Microsoft, so we'll see what they actually get patched in the Patch Tuesday that's forthcoming. And let me get into the next article as well. Hey, looks like Bing, the service by Microsoft, is doing pretty good. They're starting to see a little market share gain on Google. And not much, just a little bit, but they're nibbling away at Microsoft, I mean at Google. And that's really a first, and this is based upon really a whole month of looking at the service. So have a link up to that in the show notes, of course. All right, real heavy on the techie side here. Germanium diodes. What does germanium diodes have to do with me? Well, germanium diodes mean progress towards silicon chip lasers. Now this is big. And of course, the folks at MIT, if anyone's going to make this this jump in being able to make chips faster, MIT has reported by able to get to strong light signals from germanium-based diodes on silicon, and that's at room temperature. Engineers have been working for a very long time because what they want to be able to do is have optical interconnects on chips. The optical interconnects, obviously, optics, things operate at the speed of light. So operate faster with less power, meaning less heat, and relieving some of the bottleneck that's going on in current chips. So kind of cool here. We'll see what happens with this. And Moore's Law is not done yet. Big news out of KFC, the Kennedy Space Center. Did I say KFC? KSC. For the first time in more than 25 years, a new space vehicle is being stacked on the mobile launch platform. Thanks to the hard work and dedication and experienced team employees from NASA and contractors from United Space Alliance, I'm reading from the press release. So what's going on here is Ares, I guess, 9 aft skirt was mated to a solid fuel segment in the rotation processing and surge facility at KSC, then rolled over to the 528-foot-tall vehicle assembly building, where it will be lifted and placed on the basically put all the stages together. And once the stages are all together, they're going to roll the Ares rocket out to launch pad 39B for the first test flight of the vehicle later this year. This vehicle is part of NASA's Constellation program, which plans to send humans back to the moon and beyond. So this is exciting stuff. You know, if you've ever been down to the Kennedy Space Center and wandered around and went through their tour and seen the just a huge Saturn rockets, And you can't really respect the size of these things until you're down there. But for us to have our first new space vehicle and essentially a launch platform that it's, you know, being able to carry some of these major heavy loads, this is huge. And this is going to be exciting. You know, while the shuttle is getting ready to retire, we're going to be definitely in for some exciting launches at KSC over the coming couple of years as they're getting ready to really ramp this thing up and put this thing into a productional use. All right, your government at work here. How many of you have been over to recovery.gov? This is a website that the president promised would have complete disclosure. Everything, all monies that were spent on all the packages and how many was spent in the budget and blah, 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 was going to be put on there. And you, Joe Citizen, could go into that website and dig out, you know, specific information on how that money was being spent to the last dime. Well, apparently the website needs a little rework already. Now, the rework of Geek News Central, you know, you had a budget for it. What do you think the budget for the rework of the new recovery? You remember this site just launched. How much do you think the rework of recovery.gov is? $18 million. $18 million? You have got to be kidding me. How many people are they hiring? They awarded a contract to a Maryland-based company called Smart Onyx. Smart is absolutely what this company is. They were able to score $18 million for this improvement to the website. Oh, my gosh. Smart Onyx Incorporated. That's a company to buy stock in. If they're a public company, absolutely. If they get $18 million out of the GSA, wow. Now, on a more serious note, and this is a little bit scary here, News Corp, you know, Robert Murdoch's News Corp, it appears that the newspaper was doing some investigative reporting through hacking into people's iPhones and violating, I guess, supposedly, that real journalists were breaking the law, violating individuals' privacy, and then, I guess, News Corp paid people to keep quiet about it. Now, this is a charge that was made from The Guardian. And again, this is a charge. But if this turns out to be the case where they had been transcribing phone calls between politicians and celebrities and other, you know, government agency, banks, phone companies, and so forth, this is serious. This is very, very serious that if this alleged information is correct, again, I'm saying alleged here. If this is allegedly, if this really happened, some people need to go to jail. They really do. I'm all about, freedom of the press, but doing illegal things is not something that goes over very well with me. So we'll see what the response to this is. I'm sure there's going to be more news on this. And The Guardian, you know, this is, to make this charge, that's pretty significant here. So we'll have to see what happens. But they actually allegedly hired people to hack into thousands of mobile phones. Almost sounds like the government. Scary. Scary, 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 scary. Of course, the government, all they have to do is they get a search warrant and they do whatever they want. But these folks just sounds like rogue collection of information like that. All right. You got any YouTube videos on your websites? This one is going to blow you away. If you play videos from YouTube on your website, and those videos contain copyrighted music, get ready to write ASCAP a check. Now, Jason Galakanis over at Mahalo.com, he got a bill from ASCAP saying, hey, you've got videos, embedded videos from YouTube on your website, and you have to pay performance rights on those. How many plays did those videos get? Hey, write us a check. ASCAP must be really hard for cash. Because they're trying to claim just about anything now counts as public performance. Remember they said a few weeks ago that if our phones ring and we have downloaded a, if we paid for a ringtone that, you know, plays 50 Cent or, you know, whatever kind of music you're into and it plays that as your ringtone, that some people hear that, you need to, you know, give ASCAP some money for having a performance. This is amazing. So they're sending collection letters to various websites that have embedded YouTube videos that contain music claiming they need to pay up a performance license. How much more crazy is this going to get? Is this insane? To me, this is pure insanity. I cannot fathom. They're desperate. They are desperate beyond belief. All right, let's talk about the slow chip inside the 3G speed. It's been reported today that the 3G speed could stand very well for slow, because as they broke down the iPhone, they found that a chip that's in there that is supposed to support the Apple's worldwide deployment of high-speed download packet access, or HSPDA, which is a faster next-generation network standard that we were supposed to be able to get this symmetrical 7.2 theoretical down and up speed. Well, turns out that the 3GS contains a universal mobile telecommunication system chip, a UMTS, which is one of the earliest 3G technologies that phones were using years. Hear me say this, years ago, and that the UMTS chip is capped at 384 kilobits per second. I have in my possession a Sprint eVideo card that is about this big. It's smaller than a lighter, that has a better chip in it than what this brand new shiny 3GS iPhone does. They believe that Apple has purposely put this in there to help its wireless partner. You know, this is almost the point of false advertising. You know, they advertise big. This was going to be the fastest phone ever, whatever. I've been doing speed tests. You know I would. Let me open it up here and let me tell you. I shouldn't do this because I'm going to already be running late. But let me go ahead and give you the report that I run here in Honolulu when I had full bars. This was a full connection. Let me go to the results page. Here's the results I've had so far. Down speeds averaging between 400 and 800 kilobits per second. That's the average, and I've run about 10 different tests. The up speeds have averaged between 68 kilobits per second to about 240 kilobits per second. That's been about the fastest it's went. 240 kilobits per second is not good enough for streaming video. So 384K is barely enough. If you have full 384K and you're cutting down on the voice quality, you might be able to stream video out of this phone. So don't buy the 3GS for speed, okay? Because they don't have it. You know, the down's pretty good, but the upload is going to be mighty, mighty. That's why they caution you. Don't record too long. This could take a very long time. Love to hear your comments. GeekNews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotlines +1 619 342 7365. All right. Hey, you know, even though times have changed, spying has not. I guess a Chinese citizen was indicted this week for conspiring to violate U.S. export laws. He's basically trying to download crypto devices or not download, buy crypto devices on eBay and a variety of different services. This guy's in jail right now because he was meeting an FBI agent, I guess, in supposedly, quote-unquote, down in Panama, but his flight came through the United States. Yeah, they hooked him right up. He's in jail. But I guess this guy's been trying to buy cryptological devices online, and this is not good. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, how is it even possible to find any of that type of stuff online in the first place? All right, Engadget is reporting that Rogers, hey, Canadian listeners, listen up. Rogers is rolling out 50 megabits per second DOCSIS 3.0 service and an 802.11n router. So congratulations, you guys up there, our friends up north. But sadly, you're only going to get this now if you live in Greater Toronto area. And it's promising that Rogers is promising it will be rolled out to some other areas in the coming months. Now, what's it going to cost you? The first 50 customers sign up for the ultimate service, priced at $150 per month. They're only given 50 at this price. Oh my gosh. Oh, they're going to give you a router for free if you're one of the first 50 people. The rest of you have to pay $200 for the router. What a deal. Hey, if you're a car enthusiast, I'm going to point you over to an article on Popular Mechanics. It's a Jay Leno. Talks about his machine shop and how he makes parts using technology now, using a 3D printer to replace old rusty parts on cars that he's restoring. I'll have this link up in the show notes. Pretty cool article. And just goes to show you what you can do in your home. Hey, there's an update on the state of global internet services. Obviously, number one, Korea, still in the lead. So I'm going to read down through the top 10. Number one, South Korea. Number two, Japan. Number three, Hong Kong. Number four, Sweden. Number five, Romania. Number six, Switzerland. Number seven, Netherlands. Eight, Denmark. Nine, Czech Republic. 10, Belgium. And yes, the United States come in at a whopping 18th place. How did Romania and the Czech Republic, does that just blow you away? That a prior Soviet bloc or Soviet satellite company, a country, could have faster internet service than we do? Oh my goodness. This is so sad. Now, if you live in the United States, here's the best places to live for bandwidth. Number one is Delaware. Number two is New Hampshire. Number three, New York. Four, Nevada. Five, Vermont. Six, Rhode Island. Seven, Connecticut. Eight, District of Columbia. Nine is Oklahoma. Number 10 is Maine. Utah and Iowa lead the high-speed sweepstakes. Oh, my gosh. So if you're looking for this is just sick. I'll have this up in the show notes. You guys can check it out, and you guys can cry. They better spend some billions of dollars improving infrastructure. Hey, job market, employees are saying they'll work longer for less money. People are getting desperate out there. And I'm sure that businesses are taking advantage of it. Hey, software tool you're going to want to check out. It's called Avary. Makes screen grabs really easy. This is pretty cool. It's an article over on Mashable. I'll have this up in the show notes. And a cool service that I found tonight was called Trendr, T-E-R-N-D-R-R. It's a freemium web charting service. This thing, basically you put in a keyword, and it looks at like 50 different websites to see how your word is trending. This is a cool app. Now, they got a free for 10 trends. Gold costs $49. You get 30 trends a month. Premium is $250, get 120 trends. I'm not going to pay. I'll probably pay for a gold membership just to play with it for a couple of months and do a bunch of trends because I like following that kind of stuff. So I have that up in the show notes, of course, for you, and you can check it out. Let me see here. How much have I got left? Not much, and then we'll get into the voicemail. Article on how they make the Nokia N97 better. Hey, very important thing. Google blog has information on how you can find Creative Common images within image search. This is big. This is a big, big deal here. If you want to make sure that your images you're putting on your blogs are under a Creative Commons license, you definitely need to check this article out, okay? Hey, if your kid is staying home from school and the school's being shut down because of bomb threats, you may want to see what your child's up to. Because a teen in North Carolina has been arrested for phoning in bomb threats to schools and universities so he could charge admission to people on the internet to watch in real time the webcams for the response by police and the evacuation. Oh, yeah. He's going to go to juvie. Wow. He didn't think he wasn't going to get caught? Oh, my goodness. Hey, NASA has tested an alternative launch abort system. So, you know, it's a big thing is safety for the astronauts. And they've come up with a new way to basically get the crew out and away from a launch vehicle when it's getting into trouble. They have a little information about that. And the Ulysses, the mission that's been out there for 18 years studying the sun, the spacecraft has been having some power issues, and they have shut down the project just because it's been too much work, I guess, to get a signal from the spacecraft. So the Ulysses mission has ended, and the spacecraft has been shut down. And I hope they've had enough gas to drive that thing into the sun and burn it up. I don't know, but that's the word on the street for the science section of the show tonight. Okay, let me go ahead and let's get right into the voicemails. And of course, if you have a comment on tonight's show, +1-619-342-7365, +1-619-342-7365. And if you have a email for us, geeknews@gmail.com. Here we go into the first voicemail.
Hello, this is Sprint IP Relay Operator 8603.
Oh, Sprint Relay, we missed you that time, so you'll have to try us on my real telephone number. Here's the next one.
Hi, Todd. My name is Ron Ken.
Hey, Ron.
I was the winner of the user competition that you announced a couple shows back.
Yeah.
I have been waiting to hear from you. I did send you an email to geeknews@gmail.com.
Okay.
I
guess you called me before.
I have a PayPal account.
All right, let's see if he called back after we sent the sent him the money. So he must have called in the voicemail hotline letting us know that he had gotten the info. Let me see what the next one is. Let's go listen to this.
Hey, Todd, it is Seth calling you up.
Okay, it's not.
I am referring to a show you aired just a month, maybe 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And you talked about a Dynex product you purchased. I believe it may have been a Firewire card. I don't really remember. It was a Dynex product of some sort.
Yep.
And basically, you just complained about it and said that it didn't work well.
Right.
That Dynex is actually a Best Buy brand product.
Junk.
And some Dynex stuff is just totally crap. It's no good.
It's junk. You're right.
But there are some other things that are actually really good, like networking cables, they're fine. USB cables, fine. Use a couple other things, like their crimping cords to actually make your own networking cables. Not amazing, but nothing wrong with them. They work fine. That's what I've been using a lot. So it depends on what Dynex product you're actually purchasing, whether it's going to be high quality or not. Typically, you can actually look at the packaging, and you can just tell by looking at it usually, or look through some reviews and see what they look like. So that's all I wanted to say. Keep up the great show.
Right, hey, bye. Thanks for the call. And, yeah, that don't buy – I would stay away from that stuff from Best Buy. Not good at all. So let's see if our winner called back on this voicemail. Let me go ahead and play this one.
Hi, Todd.
Oh.
This is Ron Ken calling from Victoria, B.C., up in Canada.
Hey, Ron.
I'm just phoning to thank you very much for transferring the $250 I won in the June promotion for the listener show notes. I've been listening to your show for... oh, seems like 3 or 4 years now, and I really enjoy it, and this is just an added bonus, and it has brought my purchase of a new iPod Touch into being a possibility now.
Nice.
So I want to thank you once again for the opportunity to win this competition.
Hey.
Thanks very much. Goodbye.
Hey, it was my pleasure, and I'm glad we finally got connected with you and got your PayPal address and got the money out to you. You know, one thing I'm trying to do here is on stuff that we're doing and giveaways I'm trying to do is make sure that the stuff goes out on a more timely basis, because there's been stuff in the past that I have not been able to get on a timely basis, and then it just it's not good. So I'm trying to make sure we stay on top of all that. And it's, you know, part of my commitment here to try to make sure everyone gets the stuff they're supposed to get and not have anyone have a bad taste in their mouth. So it thanks for calling in and let us know that you did get that. I do appreciate it. And thanks for being a longtime listener of the show. And have fun with that new iPod Touch. All right, let me go ahead and get into the actual email here. And not a lot of email tonight. I got this, of course, Trucker Tom sent me a link on this YouTube video. It may cost you a bundle. Thanks for that, Tom. Definitely, we've talked about that during the show. Definitely didn't want to miss that one. Got an email from Lamar. He said, "Aloha, Todd. Just wanted to comment that I think your show format is fine. I'm relatively a new listener, over a year, but you take contact is pretty good. The family stories and personal opinions added give your show a different spin. I like that. You don't take it too far off the subject. Keep up the good work, Lamar." Thanks, Lamar. Appreciate that. I got an email here from Frank. He says, "Hey, Todd, I was somewhat surprised at your comments on netbooks in your latest podcast. Of course, I'm not familiar with your friend's netbook. The only netbook I'm familiar with firsthand is my Dell Mini 9 with Ubuntu, GNOME, and Fluxbox, which I reviewed at Jeffrey's site. It's taken everything I've thrown at it. I've used it to manage my blog, edit documents with OpenOffice, print over my network to my network printer, watch videos, listen to music, edit pictures in the GIMP, and make calls with the Ikiga SIP phone. I've not used it to edit sound or video, but those are things I don't normally do anyway. I've used it to take pictures and video with the webcam with great results. When my old laptop broke, the display finally died after years of service. It was a capable substitute until my new laptop, also a Dell with Ubuntu, arrived. I would not call it either a toy or a throwaway computer. The only real problem I've had in using it is fitting my big fat fingers on the eensy-weensy keyboard. Also, I agree with you about McDonald's restaurants. I think I got McDonald's out when the kids were little." Frank, yeah, I appreciate your feedback. And I don't know. My experience with the netbook has not been good. So maybe I just need to play around with it a little more with them. But another comment from Scott. He says, "Hey, Todd, disagree with you. I switched from a regular laptop to just a netbook. I'm always going to Seattle. The netbook is better. I have not found one thing that I can't do with my netbook. Paid $295. It's an Acer Aspire 1. It's got a 10.1-inch screen, Intel 1.60 gigahertz, 1 gig RAM, 150 gig hard drive, Windows XP. Best choice I made. It's small, 2 pounds, and a 7.5-hour battery life." You know, I guess maybe my biggest hang-up, Scott, is if you can see the desk here, if you watch the Ustream video at all, I got a huge monitor. I love lots of screen real estate. Working on itsy bitsy little screens, maybe it's my age. Anyway, got another email from Scott. He said, "Hey, Todd, I had similar issues with my bank's website." And this was in regards to IE8. He says, "Go on. However, the compatibility mode function in IE8 solved the issue. Have you tried that?" Well, you know what, Scott? I didn't even know it had a compatibility mode function. No, I didn't. So, because I don't use IE8, but I am definitely going to try that because I need to get into that online banking site. Other than that, I've not come across any issues with IE8, Scott. You know, Scott, thanks for that tip. That's probably going to save me a lot of heartburn. So I'm definitely going to kick that thing back to IE7 in the compatibility mode, and we'll play around with that and see if we can make it happen. Got an email from Jeff. "Hey, Todd, I've used Firefox 98% of the time because you can pick and choose how you can handle downloads. With IE, if you try to download an MP3, it will launch Windows Media Player and play the file. With Firefox, you can save MP3 or any media file as a file without launching a media player. I think you can do that with IE2 with a different keystroke. But he says, in general, Firefox is more comfortable than IE. However, there are a few websites that require Internet Explorer. Love your show. Keep up the good work." Got an email from Robert. He says, "Hey, Todd, did you check this out? It's an interesting article about a 15-year-old iPhone hacker. It's how I spent my summer hacking into iPhones with friends." And I'll have that link up in the show notes. Got an email from Trucker Tom on talk about a media event, a media summit that happened in, where was it at? I guess some fancy-spancy resort somewhere where all the big names in the media space came out and hang out and played and drank probably too much alcohol and trying to figure out how they were going to squeeze more dimes and get more advertising views out of us. But I have this link up in the Washington Post. Thanks for that, Trucker Tom. Of course, we've been hearing too much about Michael Jackson in the news about being buried without his brain. There is some speculation that that may not happen. Personally, I don't care if he gets married with his brain or not. We already talked about in the last show about the woman seeking to decrease her $1.92 million in fines. And if we didn't talk about Ryanair wanting to make passengers stand, you hear about this? If I didn't have this in the last show notes, you got to check it out. It's about Ryanair plan to put, like, bar stools in airplanes, and everyone just kind of sits on a bar stool. I can guarantee you if they do that, when one of those airplane crashes, everyone's going to die. Would I fly on that airline? Never. Never, 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 never. I can't believe they would even allow it. All right, folks, that's it. And hey, I made it. Good timing. As always, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. Don't forget me this weekend when we have our Tech Podcast Roundtable. Just pop in there at 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern at techpodcast.com. We'll have the live video stream up. You can also come into the actual GoToMeeting session. That's the best place to watch the show because you can see everything full screen. It's like you're right there at your computer screen. You can watch all the presentations. The video stream scrunches it way down. It's not fun to watch it that way. Come into the GoToMeeting session and, you'll feel like you're sitting right here on my desktop. So we'll have that on Saturday. Look forward to bringing that to you, I hope. We'll have the announcement out on the website tomorrow if everything's a go. But regardless, I'll be back here on Ustream Monday night, probably around 8 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time, which is middle of the night for most of you. Those of you that came out and hung out with me tonight, I appreciate it. I'm going to hang out for a little bit after the end of the show. Definitely be playing the replay of the event as well. As always, geeknewscentral.com is the place to go to find the latest great tech content. Of course, getting the podcast subscribed to as well. But again, it's been my pleasure to bring you the show. Thanks for the Ohana for hanging out. And you all take care. Have a great weekend. And we'll see you next week. Aloha.